We have already seen what the Bible says about unto whom we must to submit. We have already talked about children, women, and also we all as brothers and sisters in Christ have to submit, and even Jesus Christ himself have to submit unto the supreme authority of God our Father. Now, let's see what else the Bible says about submission and obedience and how intrinsically interwoven these two words, submission and obedience, are with agape. So go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses there. Verse 13 to 15. Let me just move this. All right. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Peter addresses this letter to converted Jews who were born-again believers living in specific conditions scattered about many different cities. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So, according to the scholars and translators, this beautiful letter was written to the believers of Asia Minor to exhort them to rejoice in the hope and to resist the persecution they were going through at that time. The Apostle Peter tried to alert and to exhort the believers in Asia Minor to live an exemplary life, to not give ground to be accused of wrongdoing, to respect the laws and the rulers, to have a good way of life. So, we see now who Peter addressed these letters. All these believers were foreigners living in Gentile countries, and they had to act or behave accordingly. They were not supposed to cause any trouble, but to be respectful of the laws and customs of the land they lived in, and to respect and honor the rulers of those countries. We see that Peter began to exhort the believers to live holy lives since verse 13 from chapter 1. So, if you can please go to chapter 1, verse 13.
Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, to be holy in all manner of conversation.
Okay. Isn't that what just Jerry was talking about? Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, which means the appearing, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former laws in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. A way of life. That's the Greek word anastrophe, that means conduct, behavior. A way of life. Chapter 2 expresses more exhortations for them to continue to behave according to the will of God. So in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. So we see how Peter is exhorting these people to walk in a holy manner. If you jump to verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we'll see that he addresses this letter to these people, corroborates to whom he addresses it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation," there is again an apostrophe, "honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they might by your good works, which they shall behold," the word behold means to see, to observe, "glory in the day of visitation." Peter continues to prioritize a holy way of life. The basic meaning of the word visitation here, episcopate, means episcope, in Greek, it means episcopate, meaning the office of a bishop. It has to do with inspection, observation, supervision, or surveillance. So some speculate that refers when God watches over his pilgrim people as a shepherd watches over his sheep, but is not what God has been doing all along, since the old times? Well, it wasn't he who abandoned them. They left God. But remember, Peter is writing to converted Jews, some of whom were still zealous of the law of Moses. The word conversation, again, is an apostrophe and refers to a way of life. I want you to see the importance of Peter exhortations involving a holy way of life, because the exhortation continues in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. "Submit yourself to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now the word ordinance is the Greek word tisis, meaning original formation, construction, creation, creature, and obedience. The Greek text reads, "Be in subjection, therefore, to every human authority or human institution for the sake of the Lord, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as by him sent for vengeance on evildoers and praise to well-doers, because this is the will of God, that well-doing to put silence of senseless men's ignorance." Now, the word yourself in verse 13 is not in the text, but it's not in italic. You see that? It should be in italics. But even without it, we can understand that applies to everyone, man and woman, age or young, and children. So, the submission, it has to be for everyone. The Lamsa Bible reads, "Be subject to every human authority for the sake of God." Let's say that you're going to live in another country. Well, Jerry can tell us many experiences of that, where the laws and customs are completely different than the ones you used to follow in your own country. Will you just go and try to change their laws and customs? And then after that, go and laugh in the face of the rulers or governors? I don't think so. Let me speak for myself. I am a foreigner in this country. And if I want to stay out of trouble, what do I have to do? Follow the rules. I'm supposed to respect the rules and regulations and ordinances from the municipal, state, and federal laws on this country. From driving a vehicle to pay taxes and to subordinate unto the authorities by, you know, just doing good and respecting federal, state, and municipal institutions, right? We all do that. I follow the rules because it's the right thing to do. And I try to show my honest way of life, or as Peter's call it, endeavor to be holy in all manner of conversation. Personally, I do not believe that these rulers, governors, authorities, or institutions are 100% being chosen by the will of God. The Bible says, as by him sent, not categorically, because God chose them and put them in that position. If that were the case, it would be a blessing to live in any country around the world. And Peter would not even have written this exhortation to the believers in exile. Better yet, there would be no exile at all. Long time ago, people believed that the rulers of their and governments were established by God. I think that last week Jerry was talking about something similar to that. Remember that? I do not believe that Fidel Castro was the will of God for Cuba in his times. I don't believe that the Taliban was God's will for Afghanistan in those times either. Nor do I believe that the Queen of England in her time was God's will as well. In the 1800s, a French philosopher named Joseph de Maistre said, "Every people or nation has the government it deserves." I want to follow Jerry's suggestion about staying out of politics. But this country is about to pick their own rules. Will they deserve it? Only they know. And what happened is up to the people, because they have the government they deserve. And with a few exceptions, most countries are being able to choose their own rulers, authorities, and build their own institutions. But it doesn't even matter if they are being imposed to the people. If I consider myself a Christian believer, for God's sake, I behave. And I exhibit a godly way of life. So I respect the government, authorities, and institutions, not necessarily because I believe that the people in power are being chosen and established by God, but because the will of God is that I do that. All submission must be only to God, our Heavenly Father, as well as all obedience unto Christ Jesus, our personal Lord and Savior. But today, that is a very difficult thing to do, especially when people do not know what the will of God is, much less what does his matchless word say. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 16. I think we were in Peter, right? Okay. All right, well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now Peter addresses another group of people, servants. The word servants here is the Greek word doulos, meaning a slave, a bond slave. And in this case, as we know it, a bond slave for love. You and I decide to be a doulos, to submit under the authority of God and to human authorities for God's sake. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. You know, the word love is agape, agapao here. Fear God, honor the king. Peter continues exhorting the believers in exile. And from here, we learn that we are not only to submit one to another, but to agapao and honor one to another, as well as the kings or rulers of the land. This last part might be a little subjective, because some human authorities just don't deserve that honor. The word fear has everything to do with reverence and respect toward God, not to be afraid. Verse 18, 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. The word servant here is the Greek word oiketes, which refers to a domestic servant. Domestic servants are told to submit to their master with all respect. No matter if the master is good or bad, the servant must submit. Okay? Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Here it says, servant, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. First Peter. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Now the word servants here is doulos again. But in this case it's referring to real slaves. The Lamb's Bible read, exhort servants or slaves to be obedient to their masters, fully pleasing, not back talking. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5. Servants, obey your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as to Christ. The word obey here is upakuo, meaning to hear under as subordinate, to listen attentively, to pay attention and comply with a command or authority. So to obey means to listen and do it. Not just to, yes, I hear what you say. I'll do it later. No, it's to comply with what you've been told. To be obedient and to obey. That's what hupakuo means. It shares the same root, hupo, which means under, with hupotasso. So the word servant in verse 16, doulos, is referring to Christian believers. But in verse 18, Peter refers to an oiketes, a domestic servant. Titus 2:9 is referring to a real slave, a person that had been captured, sold, or born into slavery. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, refers also to Christian believers. So servants in any category must submit to their masters, as unto Christ, and in consequence, unto God's almighty authority. So in 1 Peter chapter 2:18, as well as in Titus 2:9, the word master is despotes, meaning an absolute ruler, despot, lord, master, and owner. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, the word master is the Greek word kurios, from kuros, meaning supremacy, supreme in authority, that is, as a noun, controller by implication, as respectful title, God, the Lord, and Master. But that's an interesting subject to study later. Right now, we're still talking about hupotasso, although we'll see who Lord is referring to later on. So, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. We talk about this verse and last in part two. Remember that the Greek text reads, in the fear of respectful obedience of Christ. The Lancet Bible and the Aramaic Peshitta New Testament reads, in the love of Christ, which I love, I like better. Some other version says, out of respect or because of your reverence for Christ. The Greek text reads, in the fear of Christ. In verse 22, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. See what I say? It's very interesting to study the word Lord, because who Lord is talking about here? Well, we'll see later. Is it Christ, or is it God, our Lord, and the Creator of heaven and earth? Well, we must submit anyway to both of them. But regardless who is referring to here, we have this command that woman must to submit to her husband. If she cannot submit to her husband, she's not going to be able to submit to Christ, much less to God. She must submit to her husband first. Remember that we already looked at the commandment from the book of Genesis when Paul asked the believers to follow God's ordinance. And we also know that believers knew the law, and even though they were born again believers, some were respectful of the commandments of God, and some were still zealous of keeping the law of Moses. In verse 23, here in Ephesians 5 verse 23, shows a figure of speech called simile. This is technically a comparison. For the husband is the head of the wife, equals Christ is the head of the church. But that doesn't really mean that the word Lord in verse 22 refers to Jesus Christ. He's just making a comparison between two things that are similar. Now go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18. That will clarify which Lord we're talking about here. Wives, be subject to your own husband as is fitting to the Lord. We have the same question here. Which Lord is referring to? The word fitting is the Greek word aneko, meaning to attain, to be fit, fitting. And to understand what is right or fitting, let's take a look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, which is agape. Agape is to love in a social and moral sense. And walk in love, as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be one's name among you as becometh saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The word convenient here is the same Greek word aneko, translated as fitting in Colossians chapter 3:18. So our walk should be fitting or convenient or suitable for God. In Ephesians here, verse 1 speaks of us being imitators of God. That's an exhortation. Verse 2 sets the context of the entire chapter. Our walk. We are to walk in agape. And there is no better example for us to follow than that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we are supposed to walk, in agape. Do you remember when Jesus asked Peter to feed his lambs and to feed his sheep? Jesus asked Peter four times, "Do you love me, Peter?" Mm-hmm. But two times he says, "Peter, do you agape me?" And then two times he says, "Peter, do you phileo me?" And Peter, the four times he answered, he say, "Yes, Lord, you know it's that I phileo you." Peter say phileo, because it was all Peter knew. Phileo means to be fond or to have affection for an individual or a thing, denoting a personal attachment as a matter of sentiment or feeling. That was the only kind of love Peter could give. But Jesus was talking about something totally different, where emotions and feelings are not the focus of the attachment. Here, in Ephesians, Jesus Christ set the example. And his example was not of hugging and kissing and being emotionally affectionate, but of a walk. And I'm not talking about to stroll or to move from one place to another or to travel on foot to exercise. I'm talking about a walk as a behavior, as to conduct oneself in a particular manner, to pursue a particular course of life. That is what the Greek agape really means. Not to, "I feel good because I love you. I feel this because she loves me." No. In Ephesians chapter 5:23, we see Jesus Christ as the example, and as the church is to submit unto him, like wives, the wife ought to submit to her husband. Remember the simile. Here it is. Making the comparison between the wife to her husband and to church to the Christ. This is a beautiful figure of speech. To compare the relationship between husband and wife with Christ in the church. Why? Because Christ in the church is the nucleus of our spiritual life. And husband and wife are the nucleus of our physical life. They are the heart of the family. There is no family without husband and wife. And there is no spiritual life without Christ and the church. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. We're going to read a few verses there. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that also may without the word be won by the conversation." Remember the word conversation. It's an astrophe, a way of life. "By the conversation of the wives." Verse 2. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting off apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit." Talking a bit. What was the word, Jesse? I know that was meekness. This is meekness. That's a different word. Yes, adequate. "And quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Verse 5. "For after this manner in the old times, the holy woman also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Even as Sarah... It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5.
Oh, chapter 3.
Yes.
Verse 5.
Now we're going to read verse 6. Why don't I repeat verse 5? "For after this manner in the old time, the holy woman also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even of Sarah, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, because I'm talking too much about wives submit to your husbands, I'm not trying to be harsh or to bully woman, okay? I'm just reading what the word said. But I think these verses make it all clear. Wives are supposed to submit to their husband as unto God. In verse 6, when Sarah called Abraham Lord, which is the word curious, she was using a respectful title because she knew he was God's representative to her, because she knew the law of, and your desire will be to your husband. First Peter was addressed to believers scattered throughout Asia. We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 1. They were born again believers with Holy Spirit who were not supposed to live according to the law of Moses anymore. But Peter goes on to talk about the woman of the ancient times, how their behavior was fitting, and how they submitted to their husband as unto God, giving their husband the title, the respect, the honor, and the obedience. The book of Titus talks about older women and their behavior as well. So do Titus, go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. We're going to read until verse 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, no false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they might teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, the word behavior here is a different Greek word, but it still means behavior. The word to love their husband is agape. And the word, when it says to love their children, is philotechnos, meaning to be fond of their children. Basically, to love their children. So this speaks of aged woman. She could be still a wife, a mother, a grandmother, but an older woman. So we have seen how woman should behave in a holy manner, and how comfortable is a walk when they do that, and when we all do that. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're about to finish. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives to be to their own husbands in everything. All right? So, enough with the woman. Let's now focus on the husband. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Both words love is agapao, okay? None of them is phileo. Remember the simile. Here it is again. As the church ought to submit to him, the wife has to submit to her husband. Men know that they must submit to God and Christ, just like any other, and agapao their wives. Jesus Christ set the example to follow. So as Christ agapao the church, the husband must agapao his wife to the point that give their life for them if needed. Every time we encounter the simile, we can see the example and the comparison as Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Now it's to the husband. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The word dwell here is a compound word, where the first word son, U-S-N, is the same root as the word synesis. Remember that? Like when two rivers converge to become one. The second word, oikeo, means to dwell with. So when we put this word together, we can probably see that. But there is a verse that can basically illustrate the meaning. So let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. So that will give us an idea what this dwelling together really means. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. In whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The phrase builded together is the Greek word sunoikodomeo. Two times. So that is how God established the marriage and how a marriage couple should be builded together. So not only woman has a huge responsibility of submitting to their husband, it is also a great responsibility for men to take care of his woman. Not only to agapao her, but also to honor her. And you don't do that with hugs and kisses and gifts and caresses. You do that with your walk, by being holy as God and His Son Jesus Christ are holy. Now, women are not necessarily weak, as it says here. The Lamsa Bible says, a delicate vessel. The Reina Valera in Spanish reads, a fragile vessel. We all know that compared to a man, a woman might be weaker, physically talking. But in her own nature, she is strong. Strong enough to give birth to a child. Yet, delicate and fragile from within. So, I started this part 3 of Hupotasso with Peter's letter to the converted Jews in exile. He called them strangers and pilgrims. The Greek text says the elect, to the elect. And you know what the word elect says? It means the chosen one, the favorite. Just like what Jerry was talking about. See? Peter said that to the pilgrims. And you know what else? That as well might be applied to us because this world is not our home. We are aliens, foreigners, sojourners here on earth. And our Heavenly Father is waiting for us up there. In the meantime, we must to submit to every ordinance of men for God's sake. But mainly, we must submit to one to another and honor one to another as we walk in agape. Just as Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, set the example for us to follow. We must cast down imaginations and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is the only way for men, women, and children, domestic servants, real slaves, and doulos for love to really submit to the supreme authority of God, our Heavenly Father. So wife must to submit to the husband as unto God, and the husband to agapao his wife as Jesus Christ our Lord agapao the church and gave himself for it. Marriage is a beautiful thing established by God. You don't have to go there. I'll read this for you. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God's will for husband and wives is to live wisely. And we read that in all that those verses Jerry talked about. And come together physically and spiritually as two rivers to converge, that converge to become one in body and spirit. Because we are together, husband and wife, heirs of the grace of life. God bless you guys.